This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
They have no excuse of those tens and thousands of people they've massacred and they've killed. And it's easy for us to say to the people of Palestine to have patience. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disgrace these individuals. Whoever is saved from the hellfire, that's the ultimate success. We're all in charge of our flock, small scale, big scale, whatever it may be.
Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continuing our journey in finding the light, finding the peace and tranquility and serenity via the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supplications that He laid out inside His speech, inside His words, to call upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord says, call upon me and I'll respond. Allah mentioned inside Surah Al-Baqarah as well, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ عُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانٌ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. The servant asks about me, they need them close by, I respond. Let them respond to me, let them call upon me, call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who don't want to call upon Him, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ, those who are arrogant, don't want to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will place them inside Jahannam Dakhirin, humiliate them, debase them. Thus these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are nur, a light. They're light, they're a form of guidance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to excel, to increase that light. Because that light is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself describes Himself inside Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of Quran. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the nur, the light of the heavens and the earth. And various interpretations are given of regarding this light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is plausible is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wants towards that light. Nurun ala nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wants to that light. Light upon light. Whoever finds the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever Allah guides to that light, that's why Allah becomes the friend of that individual. Allah describes Himself, Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah becomes the ally, becomes a friend of the believers. And the sifat of these believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ma'iyya, this specific closeness, proximity, being with His believers, being with His servants. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. That He takes them out the realms of darknesses and brings them to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for those individuals who disbelieve, or those individuals who are oppressive individuals, these individuals, what do? They take people out the nur and expel them or put them into the darkness. These are the people of the hellfire, leading people towards, away from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leading to that eternal doom or that eternal punishment. In another place in the Quran, Allah mentioned Allah waliyul mu'mineen. Allah is the friend of the believing individuals, the Muslims. He's a friend of those individuals. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentioned, Wallahu waliyul muttaqeen. Inside Surah Al-Jathiyah. Even the context we mentioned many times, as Imam Al-Biqai speaks about verses inside the Quran, why they're placed inside certain locations, certain places. Al-Jathiyah is when people will be kneeling, coming down in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that context, Allah is speaking about believers. Wallahu waliyul muttaqeen. Allah is a friend of the pious individuals. The pious individuals, those who are observant in their obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna waliyya Allah. In another place in the Quran, Allah mentions that believers say that indeed my wali, my protector is Allah. Alladhi nazzala al-kitab wa huwa yatawalla as-salihin. My wali, my friend is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who sent down the book, sent down the revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that takes care of the righteous people. They become these close individuals towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. That's when your heart and your mind and your soul is expanded, comes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. He's from light, guidance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in that heart, the mind, the soul of that individual. That Allah expands the chest of that individual. The expansion of, as we began with, contentment, serenity. That's why some of the ulama of tazkiyah, they speak about that inside a dua is ladha. There's this great sweetness. That some of them, they write that we wish that we remained in our calamity. Because the beauty that we find in making this supplication, contentment, which we can't seem to understand. But as you mentioned, like Ayyub, like some 17, 18 years or so, as some of us they mentioned, remained in that state of observance, of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we spoke about Yunus, alayhi salam, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said that, I'm calling upon you where no one has possibly ever called upon you. In the depths of the ocean, in the darkness of the night, in the storm. Where some of the ulama tafsir mentioned the whale, the belly of the whale is touching the bottom of the earth. That's how deep he's traversed down. And he makes this supplication, this sujood and calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these words are thaqeel. These words are weighty. They have a value in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَدْ جَعْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah describes as Surah Al-Ma'idah, this come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this nur, this light has come. Some interpret it as being the Prophet alayhi salam, but walakin qawlul rajih is referring to the Quran. That his nur has come, and his clear book has come. And what is the result of this nur? Yahdi bihillahu man ittaba'a ridwanahu subul as-salam. Whoever begins to follow this light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the happiness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guides him to the right paths, the paths of good actions, is what happens to that individual. And once again, Allah then concludes by mentions, وَيُخْرِجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Once again, Allah brings us out of the realms of darknesses to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is a prelude to this great supplication. We come towards the end of the Quran. رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Inside Surah Tahrim, the 66th chapter of the Quran, these 12 verses of Medinan Surah, verse number 8 or so, that we find this dua of the believers. Oh Allah, complete our nur, complete our light, complete our journey, enshroud us with this light, cover us with this light, give us success with this light, like you gave us success inside this dunya. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. It's something simple and easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. And before we enter into this dua, this supplication, as we mentioned many times, to understand the context, the siyaq of the Qur'an is powerful. The build-up of certain things inside the Qur'an. This Surah Tahrim, as we mentioned, 66th chapter of the Qur'an, where Imam Bukhari calls it this surah, لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ. As we're going to find how the Prophet ﷺ made something haram, which is halal, he made it haram upon himself. And some even call it the surah, Surah An-Nabi, the surah speaking to the Prophet, even though there's many surahs, or specifically three surahs inside the Quran that begin with, Ya Ayyuha Nabi. And you find the similarities of this surah, Surah Tahrim, with these surahs. The first time Allah mentions that surah, Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran. Most of this surah, even though the title is Ahzab, speak about the confederates and speak about striving and struggling, the real inner message is ta'a lil Rasul alayhi salatu salam. The honor, the dignity, the sanctity, the reverence towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. The Prophet is more closer to the believers than their own selves. As you find that some people in these days, they speak about the night, the ascension journey, etc., of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, or other functions that they speak about him, rightfully so, but we fail to understand it's not just about this reverence.
It's not just about reverence towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. It's ta'atuhu. It's his obedience. Ittiba' sunnatihi, to follow his sunnah inside his life. That's real respect. Because we can see how this model of just expressing our love in poetry and chanting certain things, how it's gone to beyond what maybe some people may have legislated or wrote about that in works of praising mad lil Rasul alayhi salatu salam. Because for these people, that's all that their life is now. Or just their life is just looking at certain moments without having that deep impact inside the life of changing themselves. So the night ascension that people may be so-called celebrating at the moment, what is the night ascension? What is happening now in Palestine at the moment that we find that we should have this affiliation, this care, and this worry? Subhanalladhi asra bi abdi layla min al masjid haram ila al masjid aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu was sami'ul basir. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, took his servant from the precincts of the haram, took him all the way to the furthest masjid, masjid al-aqsa, and everything about it is blessed about this area, to show him our signs that whereby he united with the rest of the prophets and led them inside prayer, showing us once again the sanctity, the importance of this buqa al-mubarakah, the importance of this station, of this location. That's what we should be worried about. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised inside the Quran, that we should be worried about that. And thinking about ways of liberating those symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the main theme of this surah is not just the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, it's al-usra, it's the family unit. You know, it gives a different dimension of the Prophet, because some of us may see the Prophet alayhi salam as a certain type of individual. But Allah mentioned about him, Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. In his character, for you to emulate everything about him. So this surah gives us an inner dimension of his home. It gives us the human nature of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. The human nature for what purpose? To show us how to live our lives. Not to live our lives externally that so many of us Muslims that we rightfully do. But how do we live our internal life with those close people close to us? Ummahatul mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, Azwajun Nabi, the wives of the prophets who narrated his personal dealings, his personal interactions. That's why it's paramount for us to read about the seerah, to find that personal touch, that personal dimension of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Even we read a basic book of seerah, even though it's not basic, but it's very detailed. Ar-Rahiqul Makhtoom, the sealed nectar, written by the late Sheikh Safiur Rahman Mubarak Furi, died in the year 2006, where thousands of people entered in this competition in 1979 to write a book on the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And his book won the prize, was selected as one of the most authentic books regarding the seer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Read that inside our lives to get this personal understanding of who the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was inside his home, specifically as this surah begins to speak about inside Surah Al-Tahrim. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu lak tabtaghi mardata azwajik. O Prophet of Allah, why are you making haram that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for you? Seeking the pleasure of your wives. Wallahu ghafoor rahim. Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. As we mentioned, Ya ayyuha an-nabi inside the Quran, three occasions we mentioned inside the Quran addressing him. As Shaykh Uthaymeen speaks about when the Quran says, Ya ayyuha an-nabi, then this is a form of khitab khas, specifically in general to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Addressing him. When the Quran says, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul, balligh ma unzi ilayka min rabbik. When Allah says the kalimat, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul, hadhi lil iblagh, to convey the message to people. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Prophet is unique. The three or four occasions when he uses the name Muhammad inside the Quran, ma yukhatibu an-nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't speak to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He doesn't speak to him. He speaks about him. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he speaks to the Prophet, he addresses him, Ya ayyuhal Nabi, Ya ayyuhal Rasul, Ya ayyuhal Muzammil, Ya ayyuhal Mudathir. When he speaks about him, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. He speaks about him in a third person. That who is Muhammad except for a messenger? And many messengers have passed before. And if he's to be killed or to be slayed, are you going to turn back on your heels? So you find that the ta'zeem, the reverence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the best of his creation, the ultimate creation of human beings, is a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ultimate best creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever created upon this earth. That's why once again, read about his seerah when they speak about his beauty, about his jamal. You know, even the sweat of the Prophet would smell like musk. That's why some of the ulama of seerah write that one female companion used to carry, to collect that in a bottle and keep that fragrance. Everything about him was unique, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why he loved purity. He loved good things. That's Ibn Ashur inside his tafsir, he mentioned he loved sweet and good things was the nature of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's when the reason behind these ayat? Why are you making haram that which is halal for you? Two views are mentioned why these verses were sent down. The first view, as we made ishara to, the Prophet, he loved sweet substance. He loved honey. So he would go sometimes with his different wives, would go at different locations, different times he had for them. So he'd go and he'd sit with Zainab bint Jahsh. His cousin would be with her. And just to put it into context, Zainab bint Jahsh was previously married to Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd is the only companion who's mentioned inside the Quran by name. No companion is mentioned by name. The name Zayd occurs inside Surah Al-Ahzab, speaking about him. He was the adopted son. That's the whole beginning sort of begins by speaking about, don't call your adopted sons your sons. They're not your sons. You can only call your actual sons your sons. And that's why when Zayd divorced Zainab, obviously this was something difficult for that society to bear, because Zayd is classified as the adopted son of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he then went and he married Zainab bin Jahsh. He married her to show that that's not my actual son. Shar'an, according to Sharia, that's not the son of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because a father can't marry his son's wife. He's mahram to her. Even after he divorces her, he's still mahram to her. But that's his adopted son. So to show the Sharia codifies things, not like the cultural practices that we have inside our society. That's my brother, that's my sister. Your brother-in-law is your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law is your sister-in-law. All due respect is given to them. But the Sharia codifies that this is what a mahram to a person is. That's what we find in Surah An-Nisa, highlights what is the mahram towards a man and a woman who they can be a chaperone towards them. So the Prophet ﷺ had to break that taboo inside their society. That's why many things that he'd done inside his life was for the betterment of society, to remove the cultural practices that they had. And Zainab bin Jahsh was known as a worshipper. Some of the narrations mentioned that she would tie ropes to herself. That if she would nod off, that the ropes would pull her to keep her awake in a state of ibadah. But the Prophet ﷺ once again is reminding him, this is excessive ibadah that you're doing, is only harming yourself. Say these words of dhikr or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is the context of these verses? As you find some of the ulama of seerah begin to speak about the two camps of women, the wives of the Prophet alayhi salam, those on one side, those on the other side. Remember, we began with the human nature, the human side of the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So Hafsa and Aisha being young women, young individuals, when they saw that he would sit maybe some excessive moments of time with Zainab bin Jahsh, he would sit with her. So they made, if you can use this word, made a plan. That when the Prophet ﷺ, he returns back home, he comes to his other wives, let us say there's a foul smell that's coming from your mouth. So when he comes and visits each one of us, we're going to say, there's a smell that's coming from your mouth. What have you eaten? What have you eaten? So when the Prophet leaves the house of Zayn ibn Jahsh and he comes towards his wives, they made this plan. When he entered upon them, they said that we smell Rih Maghafir. We smell this smell. Ibn Hajar Asqalani speaks about like the sap that's taken like a liquid honey form. We smell this because it's sweet in nature, but it leaves behind an odor, bad smell. He said, I've only come from the house of Zainab, and all that I've had this honey to eat. They said, indeed, we find this foul smell that's coming from your mouth. The Prophet didn't like such smells. So what does he do? He said, I'm not going to eat honey anymore. But their plan was to keep him away from sitting excessively with Zayd ibn Jahsh. That's what their plan was. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then is rebuking them. That to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one view that ulama, Imam Bukhari speaks about this. The other view why these verses were sent down was that Maria al-Qibtiyya, she's the one that gave birth to his son Ibrahim who died, that he wept about. And obviously because she wasn't kept in the quarters like the rest of the wives, that she would come and visit. So once again, the wives got upset that why is he keeping, the Prophet, I'm keeping her inside one of our rooms, one of our apartments. And you can read the whole story in a very quite personal nature, it is in detail. So that kind of, that brings about the ghira, the sense of shame. Remember we speak about the household. These are wives of the Prophet, these are ummahatul mu'mineen. That no matter what their prestige and rank is, it shows their human nature. It shows their human nature within themselves, that they had that sense of passion and zeal and excessive love towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he once again said that he made it haram, that he's not going to visit Maria anymore. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down these ayat. Why are you making haram that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for you? Seeking the happiness or the pleasure of your wives. And also, just to go back to the point of the honey that we find, the fawaid of al-asal that we find, the benefits of honey. Because many people always searching around for remedies and ways of curing themselves. Look at this prophetic medicine. That's why some of the ulama of ahadith, they compiled chapters called Kitab al-Tib, the book on medicine, as Imam Bukhari compiles about the individual who came to the Prophet and he complained that he had a stomach problem. He said, Isqihi al-asal, tell him to drink some honey. Came back a second time, a third time, complaining and said, no, he said, no, your stomach has lied. There's a cure inside honey. Take it appropriately, have that conviction, have that belief. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even speaks inside Surah An-Nahl, the 16th chapter, the bee. Wa'uha rabbuka ila nahli. Allah gives revelation. The kalima is awha, not revelation like just like the Quran, but a form of revelation to inspire the bee that to live in the areas of the mountainous area to take the pollen from the plants. And what happens, what does it leave behind this a liquid of various colors that becomes what for mankind? Fi shifa'un linnas, cure for mankind. Another hadith is mentioned that seek cure, remedies in three things. Amongst them that we find is sharbat al-asal, drinking honey. To drink honey, pure honey, is a cure for the individual for ailments and sicknesses that a person may be going through inside their life. So this human nature of the human being, or of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, feeling this natural jealousy of feelings of misunderstandings, they took place to such a degree. Just to help us understand historically that even the companions unanimously together as a body, they are infallible. But they made certain decisions inside their life, certain things that showed their human nature. And obviously we don't exploit this, but this is a historical fact for us to understand that things can go out of hand for Muslims at time. Obviously our lesson, we shouldn't be following those mistakes that they made or what took place at that time, and they're forgiven. But it shows that the human nature, that even as Muslims, that misunderstandings can lead to so many things inside this Muslim society. In tatuba ila Allah faqad sagat qulubukuma. Allah is then telling these two women to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas mentioned something strange. He said, I spent a whole year, various wordings, various descriptions, in trying to approach Amir al-Mu'mineen, because Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar al-Khattab, was the father of Hafsa. Abu Bakr was the father of Aisha. So look at their fathers, they're even respectable individuals. That's why Umar would rebuke Hafsa. I mean, he didn't look at his own interest. And that's what Ibn Abbas says, that I spent like a year, and eventually we went for Hajj, and Umar al-Khattab went out to answer the call of nature, and I brought the water to him afterwards, and he performed his wudu. Then I chose that opportunity and asked him, who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to? In tatuba ilallahi faqad shagat qulubukuma. Who are these two individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about inside the Quran? And Umar says that he's speaking about Hafsa and Aisha, speaking about these two women, speaking about them. But you know, you can understand just the psyche of Ibn Abbas's turjaman al-Quran, the fiqh fi tafsir, his fiqh of understanding the Quran, the journey of the Quran. It's not something instantly that people think that instantly I'm given a perception, an understanding of the Quran. People spend years in trying to decipher the Quran, years in trying to understand the Quran, years in memorizing the Quran, years that they go through. So many verses have passed me by. That's why even Umar al-Khattab, when he heard certain verses, he said, as if these verses have been sent down right now. That's the nature of the Quran. That's the power of the Quran. That's the power of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يملو جليسه. The person never becomes tired. You know, if you really love the Quran, our hearts will just absorb the Quran. We'll find that peace in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the journey continues. يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. It's a family again. Oh, you believe, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your family members from the fire. That's what Imam Thawri mentions. أَدِّبُوهُمْ وَعَلِّمُوهُمْ. Teach etiquettes to your children. Give them etiquettes. Teach them the right knowledge, the beneficial knowledge. Towards our progeny around us, Ibn Abbas mentioned, اعملوا بطاعة الله. Carry out with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. واتقوا معاصي الله. Stay away from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومروا أهليكم بالذكر ينجيكم الله من النار. Remind your family members to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will save you from the punishment of the hellfire. That's what we find in Bukhari, على كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤولا رعيته. All of us are ra'in, are a shepherd. We're all in charge of our flock, small scale, big scale, whatever it may be. But the direct link is your family members. You're responsible for them. Just like we're responsible for the worldly needs, rightfully so, rightfully so. Their spiritual needs as well. Why is there upheaval amongst our youth at the moment? It's because the spiritual needs are not being taken care for. Just send our children to the madrasa, tell them to learn the Quran, and then expect them to be a good Muslim. Children learn via practices around them. That's what the Prophet I mentioned. That will command your children at the age of 7 to offer the salah. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقَكَ. Look how strange the Quran is, that we're worried about risk and sustenance and money. I've got need time to go out and earn, do my living. I'm doing this for my children, doing this for my family. Allah says the opposite. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Command your family members with a prayer, remain steadfast upon it. We don't ask you for any sustenance. نَحْنُ نَرْزُكُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. We don't ask you for any sustenance. We're going to take care of you. So Allah will provide the means. That's what we say this many times. People think, oh, it's salah time again. It takes away from my dunya, takes away from my business, takes away from my money. Wallahi, salah yubarik fi amwalikum. Salah gives you barakah inside your life, increases your wealth. That's whoever breaks away their life, lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will betray the individual, will disgrace the individual? On today's language, you think Allah will shortchange that individual who breaks away from this dunya? Lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was 4 or 5 minutes of each salah. That those 4 or 5 minutes, we feel that greed and that urge of the dunya, that I miss something of the dunya. That's why it's qillatul iman. That's what Allah begins inside the Quran, inside the Surah Al-Baqarah, mentioning. وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا لَلْخَاشِعِينَ. Seek aid and assistance with the prayer. It's going to be something difficult, except for those submissive individuals. That's when Allah begins about speaking about paradise or coming to the end of paradise. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ هُمْ فِيَ خَالِدُونَ. In the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd chapter of the Quran, the believers. Before he concludes about paradise, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention? What does he say? قَدَ فْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. قَدَ فْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful are the believers. First symbol of a believer. And now you salli. First symbol of a believer. That he prays. And he doesn't just pray that some of us pray. That God, قَدْ أَدَّيْتُ الْفَرِيضَةِ. I carried out my responsibility. I done the fourth action. That's not real prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are submissive inside their prayer and their devotion, in pondering and reflecting in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why command your children to pray at the age of 7 and then become more harsh towards them when they reach the age of 10 years old. Is what the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in his advice towards our family members. To save ourselves from what? From this fire. You know, that's what this journey on this dunya is to deliver ourselves from the fire. Allah mentions towards the end of Surah Al-Imran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِعَ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَأَسْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Whoever is saved from the hellfire, فَقَدْ فَأَسَ, that's the ultimate success. The ultimate success. Then Allah alludes that what is this dunya? وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Chattels, deceptions of this dunya. That's what this world is, going to derail you, distract you from trying to save yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentioned this nar, مُقُودُ النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. That is, this fire of Jahannam is fuel, is mankind and stones and rocks. That's why even at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah mentioned, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ عِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Save yourselves from that fire whose fuel is men and stones. That's what we're supposed to be on this earth for. Saving ourselves. That's what ulama begin to speak about, that even the corpse of the person that is burnt to like a rock. That's what some of them say, that the rocks are referring to, Ibn Kathir's tafsir mentioned, they refer to al-asnam. It refers to the idols, the statues that will be thrown inside Jahannam. Ibn Mas'ud mentions that al-hijara, who are known in al-kibrit, a form of sulfur. That's what Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali speaks about, various types of Jahannam. And the elements, maybe it could be an element of truth, but when they speak about sulfur, rock sulfur being a rock of Jahannam, because when it touches your body, it burns and it clings and it sticks to it. That's what Jahannam is going to be. That Jahannam has been burnt until it's red, until it's grey and it becomes blackened. That was what his punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And then Allah then continues, عَلَيَّ مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. This normal depiction that we have of angels, of being of nice and good. But Allah describes the opposite here. That at this location, this moment in time, that these angels, Ibn Kathir speaks about, that these angels, that their rahmah has been snatched away from their hearts. They're not going to be merciful. They're not going to be kind. That's why I read inside Surah Al-A'raf, the depiction about the people of hellfire and the people of paradise. The 7th chapter of the Quran, that's why it's called Surah Al-A'raf. Read that description of what will begin to take place there. Read how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. People are going to call out, يَا مَالِك. Malik is the custodian of Jahannam, the angel who's there. ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lessen this punishment for us. Take away this punishment from us. قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ You're going to remain here for eternity. You're going to remain here for eternity. There's no coming out of this punishment. Then the following surah mentions, Surah Al-Dukhan, ذُقْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ Look at the language of the Quran, ذُقْ, taste. Just as you think he was a great pompous individual in this dunya, powerful individual inside this dunya that used to be. ذُقْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ You think that you're some almighty, noble person. Now taste. Taste the punishment of Jahannam. Taste that punishment is what your return, your end is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرُهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ These angels don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They carry out whatever they've been told to do. And then Allah mentions, or they said, the angels, they mentioned, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا الْيَوْمِ إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ رَكِّزُوا عَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا الْيَوْمِ They have no excuse. Of those tens and thousands of people they've massacred and they've killed. That's what non-Muslims are saying. Now we understand why there needs to be a hell. Now we understand why there needs to be the hellfire. Now we understand why there needs to be a punishment. Now we understand that inside this dunya, these people may think they become scout-free. That's why on that day we say to them, Ya ayyuhal ladhina kafaru la ta'tadhiru al-yawm. You got no excuse no more. And a side point, even the world today has no excuse. Every single individual has visualized what's taking place. Every single individual visualized what's taking place on the face of this earth. As I said many times, this is written in history. We're all history at the moment. We may live to narrate it to our children, to our grandchildren, or the next generations. We're living this time that we've never seen such a catastrophe ever. Only a few people may be living from the end of the Second World War or so. Such a catastrophe in the face of human nature that we're visualizing at the moment. That these people have no excuse. That's why Allah mentions that the final verse inside Surah Al-Baqarah speaks about it. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ لَاللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ لَاللَّهِ Enjoy your days today. Enjoy your few days of grace and whatever you want to carry out in this dunya at the moment. Enjoy them. ذُقْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ Enjoy it now in this dunya. We will see what happens inside Al-Akhirah. And it's easy for us to say to the people of Palestine to have patience. It's easy for us to say that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disgrace these individuals, give them a due reward inside Al-Akhirah.
منهج القرآن بين الوعد والوعيد وبين الجنة والنار. The Quran is between this warning of this punishment to be given to us and the promise of paradise. That if you look at Uslub al-Quran, wherever Allah speaks about the punishment, He's always going to mention about the blessings and the things that we can do. That's why Imam Razi inside his tafsir, he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is telling us how to absolve ourselves, how to protect ourselves from that fire, what we can do inside this dunya. That's what Allah mentions for us Muslims specifically, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا Oh, you believe, repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sincere tawbah. With a sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will protect us from this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A tawbah jazima, a tawbah with strong commitment, with strong resolution that we find. That's what Umar al-Khattab used to mention, yatubu min adhamm thumma la ya'ud fiyya. That moment in time, the person repents from that sin and never returns back to that sin. Has this azmus sadiq, this strong resolution, commitment not to return back to that sin again. Ibn Kathir mentioned tawbah nasuhu an yuqli'a anil ma'asiyah. True tawbah is to stay away and yuqli'a anil ma'asiyah fil hadir, the present time, to take yourself away from that sin. Wa yandam ala ma salaf, to feel regret about what took place previously fil madi, what happened inside our lives. Wa ya'zam alla يَفْعَلْ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ Make this strong resolution never to return back to it ever again in the future. وَإِنْ كَانَ حَقُّ الْآدَمِي And it's a right that you belong to somebody, another individual, and return it back to that individual. Find ways to return it back to that individual. Thus we find that just like you hate, that you begin to hate the sin that a person may have carried out inside their life. That every time it comes to your mind, it floats to your mind, you have this hatred towards it. It's a sign of Tawbah. That's why in the hadith, in Surah Ibn Majah, we find, إِنَّ النَّدَمْ هُوَ Tawbah. And nadam, to feel regret, is Tawbah. أَتَائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. In another hadith, that you find, the one who repents is like one who has no sin. The one who repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. Perhaps. But ulama tafsir that mentioned, Ibn Abbas mentions the asa inside the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it, fahuwa mujiba, wajiba. When Allah says inside the Quran asa, that is not perhaps. It means definitely if you repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will definitely forgive you your sins. Wa yudkhilakum jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. And enter into your gardens underneath where rivers will be flowing. On that day that you find, يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِي اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعُوا. On that day that the Prophet won't be disgraced, and nor will the believers be disgraced who are with him on that day, and those who follow him inside this world at the moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do what? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعُوا نُورٌ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. Light will be coming out from their bodies, coming out from them. Light will be in front of them. Light will be all around them. That's what Ibn Taymiyyah speaks about, that this light, when the hypocrites are losing their light, this is the light of the believers. That Allah is giving them the light, just like He gave them, as we began with, the light inside this dunya. He's giving them the light inside akhirah. That's why some ulama speak about upon the sirat, upon the path, upon the bridge, that they be given the light to be able to cross over to the other side. Ibn Ashur mentions that this light, huwa nur haqiqi, it's not a metaphoric speech. Rabbana atmim lana nurana, complete a light. He says it's actually a physical light that's given to the believing individuals on that day when they have to cross the bridge or other stations inside al-akhirah. Yaquluna rabbana atmim lana nurana waghfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is the dua of the believing individuals, complete a nur for us. Don't disgrace us on that day. That's why the long dua inside Surah Al-Imran, I find that Allah, at the end of it, the believers make this supplication, وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. All these long cluster of duas. At the end of it, they say that, oh, our Lord, don't disgrace us on the day of judgment. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim makes that dua as well, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Oh my Lord, don't disgrace me on that day. Don't disgrace me on that day. Resurrect me on that day with a pure, sound heart. As we began, the wealth and the children won't avail you. They won't help the individual. They don't follow the pious, the righteous path. The only thing that will avail the individual will be the nur of their heart, the pure heart of the individual. Thus we find waqfil lana. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentions waqfil lana, that, oh Allah, azil atharahad, remove all remnants of any signs of sins that we carry, just remove it away from us. And He purifies us totally when we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's in conclusion that we find that some of the fawaid of this surah, this dua that we find, is tolerance. Tolerance towards our family members. As many ulama of tafsir, they speak about this extraction. They find that the Prophet was a very tolerant, lenient, lovable individual. He wasn't this harsh, brash type of individual. Some of us may think in his home is very comfortable. Made his family members feel comfortable inside the home. The love, and that's why the whole surah speaks about, Ya ayyuhan nabi lima tuharrimu ma halallahu lak. Why are you making haram? Tabtaghi mardata azwajik. Seeking the happiness of your wives. You're making something haram just to please them, as if it's a form of praise for the wives, that he's listening to them. So that's the first lesson that we learn, to make that inside our home, in that environment, because this, the future of the youth, is to have that comfortable surrounding inside their home,
And likewise, we mentioned that we should be worried about their worldly needs, but more importantly, the spiritual needs. And finally, we find the respect, the honor, dignity that belongs to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. As Allah mentions inside the surah as well, فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ. Allah is the protector of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will protect you from people. That's why when these Orientalists, people try to write things about the Azwaj al-Nabi, about the wives of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, try to make these accusations, try to write all these evil things about the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protected him throughout his life. And even after his death, he's protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his sunnah is living amongst us, that we should be indulging that inside our lives. And finally, we find to save ourselves from the fire via actions. Even the basic, simple actions. What do we find in some traditions of ahadith in the sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi that we find? That those individuals, bashir al-masha'in fi dhulami ila al-masajid, give those individuals who come in the realms of darknesses, give glad tidings to these individuals, bin nuri tam yawm al-qiyamah. To give these individuals a complete light on the day of judgment. Glad tidings to those individuals who come in the realms of darknesses, referring to what? Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr. Who come in the realms of darknesses, give them glad tidings of a complete light that we've given to these individuals. Look how easy the task is. But look how hard it is for many of us to make that journey. Likewise, the Prophet, I mean, amongst his supplications, whether leaving his home or inside a home in the Qiyamul Layl, he would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basri nura, wa min khalfi nura, min amami nura, min fawqi nura, min tahti nura. Allahumma a'tini nura, various wordings that we find. Allah place nur in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, in my right, on my left, in front of me, behind me. Waj'al fi qalbi nura, place nur inside my heart. A'tini nura, give me that nur, give me that light. So just as we began with, that's what we should be praying, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the light, give us the guidance, give us the path. Lead us to the path that leads at the end result. That we meet you, Ya Allah. We meet you at the end of that journey. End of the light is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate that for all of us to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in following the teachings and the practices of the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.